responsibilities.
Lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 11 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 12 by Representative Kukesh, beginning page 19, line 24.
Representative Kukesh.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 12.
There is objection. Representative Kukesh.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would add $50,000 general fund to restore the funding level component in the governor's proposed fiscal year 99 level, with specific intention to hold RUBA harmless. Madam Speaker, the result of this reduction, if the staff are eliminated, the division would suffer a loss of expertise that will not be replaceable, and the overall capacity of the division to respond, particularly to unique local crises such as the Bristol Bay fish disaster, the base closing in Delta and ADAC, and the Shishmaref storm disaster. We will reduce that ability by 50%. The division would also lose three of its most senior land staff, and they would retain the capacity to perform the basic functions required by statute, and tasks that are currently may take a month, may take 2 months, or more months than that, and may, in fact, never be responded to. The division's capacity to provide local land management and plan assistance would be reduced to an extreme minimal level. Madam Speaker, it's important for us to put this money back. It impacts rural Alaska, and I urge your support. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Last year, we cut from this department, this particular area. But many of you, after that cut was made, because I carried that amendment last year, did take up the cry. RUBA, RUBA, you might remember. And now, at least in part, through this amendment, you can redeem yourself. You have an opportunity here to put some of this money back. But as the representative from Angoon was saying, where this really makes a difference is in those communities that are faced with a situation where they need some help from this department. And in the area of Shishmaref, that continues to be ongoing assistance that's needed as it is in countless communities across the state. And I would hope that people would support this amendment.
Representative Goring.
Mr. Speaker, the subcommittee made the recommended decrement to this program because we looked at the fact that there are over 20 staff in the program. We felt that was adequate to meet the needs of this particular program. I also wanted to point out that the former deputy commissioner of DCRA during the Hickel administration made this recommendation as well. He felt that the existing staff levels were certainly appropriate. And I also wanted to just to add that in closing here that we did add money to the Circuit Rider program, which kind of relates to this as far as providing technical assistance to rural Alaska. The Circuit Rider program provides the necessary personnel for maintaining electrical generating plants and dealing with emergency-related outages of electrical generating facilities. So we tried to help with the Circuit Rider program, and I think the staff levels currently in this program are adequate.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, Madam Speaker. Thank you. There's been a lot of concern and a lot of effort on the part of many of you in this legislative body to look at the question of unorganized boroughs and try to figure a way to make these unorganized boroughs into some sort of governmental entity. And it appears that some of you are willing to even force this upon people who are unwilling or perhaps unprepared for such a task. Now, when you look at the component here, you're talking about training and development. And this training and development is basically in local government management. And when you're talking about a new form of government or an extension of that government, they have to have certain expertise and understanding. And that's in the areas of fiscal management. And remember, some of these places, Madam Speaker, may have just enough money coming in for a clerk, possibly a part-time secretary, and that's about it. This individual then is responsible for all the paperwork, applying for grants, complying with all the state requirements for the programs that this community would be eligible for. Once again, they have to be trained in the area of payroll taxes. They have to be able to fill out reports, and they have to be able to meet certain audit tests and have their books open to them. But if we're serious about the rectifying the unorganized boroughs and doing it by merely more than just suggesting a tax for them, I think we should be putting more people in this area to encourage them in their development, to think about expanding their political borders and maybe even consolidating into what we'd call an organized borough. I feel that on one hand we're suggesting that they should do this, and on the other hand we're denying them the tools and the technical advice and skills of professionals to be able to accomplish what many in this body are trying to do.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 12? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 12 fails to pass. House stand at ease. Amendment?
Amendment number 13 by Representative Croft, beginning page 51, line 16.
There is objection. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm not the father of this amendment. I'm just the babysitter. Unfortunately, the father was called out of town and asked me to carry it. What we're trying to do here is ensure that the University of Alaska at Anchorage doesn't lose accreditation in a couple of valuable areas. When we lose accreditation, we lose respect, we lose the ability to draw students, and the ability to draw or produce a quality education. And I know that the true father of this amendment said to me as he was leaving the building that he was hoping that the child that comes would one day have the opportunity to attend a fine university, and that accreditation is important. Well, he didn't exactly say that, but he would have said it if we'd had a chance to talk about this amendment. And so on his behalf, and on behalf of future Alaskans who'd like to go to a good school, I urge you to support this amendment.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I know it'll come as a surprise to you. In fact, perhaps even as a shock that I'm going to rise in opposition to this amendment. Madam Speaker, I do think we've had several conversations with the Chancellor from UAA. There were questions. I've never heard the question about accreditation, but I did hear concerns during the subcommittee and during recent weeks about the nursing program up at UAA and concerns for the future of that program. We are assured that that program will continue to exist. They are looking for efficiencies, but they are confident they're going to be able to offer the program to all who are interested. Beyond that, Madam Speaker, it's of interest or curiosity to me that even though it was not offered by the individual, the representative from downtown, the other representative from downtown Anchorage, who has often chided me for micromanaging the university's budget or attempting to refrain from it, this amendment would, in small part, do that. And I would prefer, if we were to go this approach, to actually give it as an overall grant to the university as we did with the budget amendment up in House Finance. So I'd ask my colleagues to vote against this amendment.
Representative Cabina?
Speaker, and I would move that amendment to the amendment to make this the general rather than to the individual.
You opened the door on that one, Representative Mulder. Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As I read the amendment, it is general. It does increment the total, and the specific amount is only in the allocation column.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 13? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so Amendment Number 13 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read the next?
Amendment number 14 by Representative Grusendorf to page 18, lines 26 and 27.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move amendment number 14.
Okay. There is objection. Representative Grusendorf.
This perhaps is my favorite amendment that we've had so far today because it's the first one that I have moved. This amendment, I think, is important because it complements what this chamber did in relation to meeting the Bristol Bay Kuskokwim disaster that they had in the last fishing season. We sat down and hammered out a relief program with the national government funds. We put money in there and developed a loan program, a non-interest loan of up to $1,000 per resident or to the individual. The problem is, Madam Speaker, that this relief money that was handed out basically already had creditors at the door for this money, to paying fuel bills, electrical bills, and the food bills that had accumulated during the time of which they did not have money. We also, in that proposal that we saw, indicated that there would be a works progress thing by which during the off season that there would be some work available to some of the people in the villages doing some constructive work that would have certain community benefits. But that does not address really the future after that disaster. So the governor submitted this increment here to go beyond that relief part and try to look at building up and fortifying that economy. And the first part of it, the first $125,000 out of the $250,000, would be basically a match. It would be a one-third state match with outside sources to look at tourism and the infrastructure of tourism, the possibility of tourism up in that area. In other words, it's an attempt to diversify the economy in that area. We can't just feel, or you know, it's going to, you can't just rely upon one resource as much as you'd like. You have to diversify it a little bit because the fishing is very unpredictable. But what they're trying to do is develop a tourist industry, something that would, you know, provide jobs and have an attraction up there. The other half of the money, the other $125,000, would be for the state to help enter into joint projects with the CDQ communities and think of other opportunities in that region in relation with the fishing industry. I feel that this would be a good investment if you're interested in economic development, if you're interested in employment, if you're interested in a part of our state becoming more of a part of the economy. This would be one way to do it, by supporting this amendment.
Further debate? Representative Goring?
Madam Speaker, I chair this budget as well, the DCED budget. What this represents is a denial of the increment requested by the administration. I want to note that we certainly feel for the region and their economic problems, given the difficulty with the lack of fish and how it's negatively impacted the industry out there. And I certainly come from a region that is hurting as well, not from commercial fishing, but because of the sports fish industry and the lack of fish in our rivers, and it's had a real bad impact in our area. But I'm not asking for money, and nor do I think we ought to be appropriating money to this region. I won't get into the philosophy behind that. I just wanted to point out our disagreement from an economic perspective, that we just feel that we don't have the dollars, nor should expend the dollars for this particular cause here. As the representative from District, I think it's 1 or 2, from Sitka, pointed out that we did pass that recent legislation that would appropriate loan and grant monies to this region. So I would respectfully request a no vote.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 14? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so number 14 fails to pass. Will the clerk please read 15?
Amendment number 15 by Representative Bryce, to page 31, line 26.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment 15.
There is objection. Representative Bryce.
Boy, no numbers on this one. Gee whiz. That's right, Madam Speaker. This is not an addition, deletion, or anything else. Doesn't deal with numbers. What it does have to do is a statement that this body is about to make to the people who receive medical services through the General Relief Medical Program. Currently, we have intent language within House Bill 325 that states that a major portion of GRM funding has been used to pay for free elective abortions and abortion-related services with little or no regulatory overview or accountability for these expenditures. Madam Speaker, that's an irresponsible statement in my mind. Fact of the matter is that a substantial amount of money has not been spent on these types of procedures, that less than $1 million a year, less than a third, substantially less than a third, closer to a quarter, might be spent on those types of procedures, nowhere near a major part of the budget, though. Madam Speaker, another reason to vote for Amendment Number 15 is we all cry about the need for efficient government, how we can cause the services of state government to be cheaper and better. Well, let's get rid of this, frankly, meaningless intent language so the governor doesn't have to waste the red ink on it. Thank you for your support.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 15? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
Amendment Number 15 fails to pass. Amendment Number 16.
Amendment Number 16 by Representative Berkowitz to page 46, line 28.
Representative Berkowitz.
Remove Amendment 16.
There is objection. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is not general fund money. And if the amount looks familiar, it's because we passed a supplemental appropriation in this amount very recently, unanimously. What this amendment does is put approximately $5 million back at the Permanent Fund Corporation's disposal so they can pay the management fees. And if the market swings up or swings down, and there's a necessity to do a lot of equity trading, we're going to need those fees. This is part of being good, honorable business people. We've made a deal with these managers to pay, and all we're doing with this amendment is appropriating the money so the permanent fund, which makes a lot of money off of its investments, can pay the people with whom it does business. I'd encourage the members to support this amendment.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The subcommittee for the Department of Revenue did increase the budget this year by $9.7 million. That's almost exactly what we passed just recently in the supplemental appropriation. And you know, last year we passed and included another $700 million, I think it was probably closer to $800 million from the earnings account. It's not sure how much the division may need this year. They've done an excellent job. And the legislature has never upheld the management fees that they needed. They've already told us ahead of time. And then next year, as we see the investment grow, if they need more, then it's always been handled through the supplemental appropriation. I shouldn't say always, but in the last few years. The legislature has also changed the rules that the Budget and Audit Committee shouldn't do this. It should be the full legislative body. Previously, Budget and Audit did this for them as the program receipts. But this has been a great experience for the total membership here to know how the permanent fund has been working and what they need. And I think the education aspect of it has been most valuable to all legislatures. So I'd request we not do this at this time because we have not known what they need. But next January, you will know. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 16? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 16 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read 17?
Amendment Number 17 by Representative Elton, beginning page 26, line 15.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 17.
There is objection. Representative Elton.
Madam Speaker, this amendment adds back $185,700 of general fund program receipts for a very important purpose. Madam Speaker, this allows the Department of Environmental Conservation to conduct inspections of high-risk facilities across the state. It's a public safety issue, Madam Speaker. Right now, these facilities are inspected on the average of about once every 2 years. This will allow inspections on the average of once every 18 months. The national norm is inspection twice a year. So it doesn't begin to get us back to where we should be. Madam Speaker, high-risk facilities include food establishments. They include food processors, child care facilities, adult care facilities. Madam Speaker, there are over 5,000 of these facilities across the state. The number grows each year. Because of prior budget cuts, Madam Speaker, we now have part-time inspectors. In short, the number of facilities keeps increasing, the numbers of inspections keep decreasing, and Madam Speaker, if we allow this to continue, it puts Alaskans who use these facilities at significant risk, and I'd urge adoption of the amendment.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 17? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 27 nays.
And so 17 fails to pass. Mr. Minority Leader, stand at ease. Number 18.
Amendment number 18 by Representative Davies, page 16, line 15.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move number 18.
There's objection. Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would add $24,100 to the Citizens Foster Care Review Board. After we passed legislation last year, the fiscal note was inadequate to allow this board to begin to expand the program into parts of the state outside of Anchorage. At the time we passed the legislation, there was essentially a pilot program going in the Anchorage area, Madam Speaker, on the Citizens Foster Care Review Panel. It's urgently needed that this kind of review be extended to all parts of the state, and this would not accomplish that, Madam Speaker, but it would speed that expansion up. So, Madam Speaker, if for those of you who are concerned that in some cases children go through many, many foster homes before they achieve some kind of permanent placement, and for those of you who are concerned that children should more quickly get to a stable home situation, you really should support this amendment so that this panel can begin this important work, not just in Anchorage, but in the rest of the state. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Davis?
Yep. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in objection to the amendment. There was intent language and of what positions would be hired, and they were funded, and there was their hirings didn't quite follow the pattern, and so they came up with a savings from last year, so we carried that into this year, so give them the same staffing level as last year.
Representative Bryce?
Madam Speaker, I believe that we've heard all the horror stories about children being jumped between foster home and foster home to foster home. Madam Speaker, this amendment would go a long ways to expanding the permanency placement, permanency review anyway, across the state. Currently, Anchorage is the only community that has that ability to have those types of reviews. It would be nice to have it brought up to Fairbanks, and for all of you folks from the interior, this is what Scott Culver's talking about.
Representative Davies?
Wrap up, Madam Speaker. I was going to refer indirectly to that same thing, that we hear a great deal in Fairbanks about the lack of permanency review. The representative behind me often has a patter about various amendments that sometimes begins, my folks didn't send me down here to, or I haven't heard a thing from any of my people complaining about this issue. Well, Madam Speaker, this isn't one of those. We've all heard a great deal about this issue, and those of us in Fairbanks have heard an enormous amount about this issue. Madam Speaker, the staffing level from last year is not adequate, simply put. That's it. The level that's being proposed by the subcommittee is plain inadequate. It might be satisfactory for a few folks in Anchorage, but certainly doesn't solve the problem in Fairbanks and other places.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 18? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so Amendment 18 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read 19?
Amendment Number 19 by Representative Kimplin.
Representative Kimplin.
Madam Speaker, I move Amendment Number 19.
There is objection. Representative Kimplin.
Madam Speaker, this amendment basically implements the Quality Schools Initiative. The monies in the foundation formula component allocates $20 million in new money to school districts to support the implementation of the standards-based instruction and assessment initiative that the administration is asking us to fund. The Department of Education will develop student performance standards in reading, writing, and mathematics for adoption and implementation in all of Alaska's public schools. I think we're very interested in these student performance standards, Madam Speaker. In addition, a comprehensive system of student assessments composed of multiple indicators of proficiency in reading, writing, and mathematics at key age levels will be created. Fourth grade, eighth grade, 11th grade, we'll have that comprehensive system in place to ensure that we're able to monitor the performance of our kids and make sure that they stay on track to learning everything that they need to know in order to be self-sufficient and productive members of our society. The $4.1 million ensures that fair funding in special and in gifted education and correspondence programs, and it ensures a one-year hold harmless provision. The quality schools component of this amendment allocates $3.6 million to create the capacity to support schools in meeting the state's school standards, which has been set out in the foundation formula. And both of these allocations really raise the bar for each Alaskan in reading, writing, and mathematics. They'll be able to provide the schools the financial and technical assistance to ensure that each student can meet the higher expectations that we have created for them. Plus, it holds the schools and communities accountable. This amendment, Madam Speaker, is an excellent approach for us to take if we are really serious about creating an educational system here in Alaska that is able to produce citizens that are competitive in the global marketplace. This is an excellent investment of our resources and our future prosperity to a great extent depends on us being able and willing to spend this money. I urge all members of this body to vote yes on this amendment.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 19? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so Amendment Number 19 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read 20? Mr. Minority Leader.
Check. Amendment Number 20 by Representative Kabina to page 22, line 32.
Representative Cabina.
Madam Speaker, I move Amendment Number 20.
There is objection. Representative Cabina.
Madam Speaker, this is another smiley amendment, Madam Speaker, because we'll all feel great if we vote for it. You would look at it and you say, oh, geez, this looks like the same amendment that Representative Cabina did a little while ago. And because the number is the same, but actually it's somewhat different. The first amendment that I put in added money to the foundation formula. Madam Speaker, but since you turned that down, I thought, well, let's take a different tact. Because we've been hearing a lot of during this session from a number of people who are pushing bills to change that the formula isn't right. I've heard the statement about, well, Anchorage has got 40% of the kids, we ought to get 40% of the money more times than I'd like to admit, Madam Speaker. But what this amendment does, distributes the money, instead of putting it in the formula, it has a separate line item. So it leaves the formula the way it is now for all existing money, but it distributes this extra money by ADM rather than by under the existing formula. So, Madam Speaker, just a couple examples. Anchorage would receive $2.2 million more under this amendment than they would the first one, or Fairbanks, $700,000 more, or let's see, where is it that you live, Madam Speaker? Oh, yeah, Kenai is $274,000 more this way. And, Madam Speaker, I guess I'm putting this up here to try to say, is there some way we can reach some agreement here on school funding in the next couple weeks, even if you happen to turn this down? Because the bill that we have up there in finance would change it so drastically that I believe it's causing a lot of problems within our state. So I think all of us recognize the only thing we can do really to help the funding issues on school is to put some extra money on the table. We have to put more money on the table. Madam Speaker, I just noticed that our Alaska Legislative Digest, which we obviously believe it is a very good thing if we buy it for ourselves, has an article, again, and in fact they've been doing quite a bit of stuff on it, and I'm sure most people have already read it today, so I won't go into a lot of detail, but they agree the same thing that I and others have been saying for a long time. The formula is not broken. It's only broken because of the inattention of this legislature over the last 10 years to fund it. We have said, and we say every year, oh, well, we're going to fully fund education, but we leave out, as Mr. Bradner points out, the word technically. We fund it at the same level as we did last year, and we increase it for the number of students, but we never, I shouldn't say never, we did once, as I mentioned in my previous remarks, but that was back when I was in the majority. We increased it for inflation. But we have not any time in the last 2 years except for that time. Madam Speaker, I thought there was an interesting part in here where he said that, by the way, Anchorage, whose population grew by 22%, and Seattle's grew by 10%, yet, and this is in the last 10 years, and yet Anchorage's funding only went up by 12%, but Seattle's funding went up by 38%. The Seattle or the Washington school districts or the Washington state have that much more money than I do. And, Speaker, I had another thing that talked about all the states around the country that have been increasing education funding, Madam Speaker, I believe it was we were one of four who actually have a decrease in funding over the last 10 years when you take in inflation. Madam Speaker, I know I'm rambling here. I'm trying to make a point, though, that we have to address this issue. We can't go on year after year and shortchange the children of this state. If people think that the funding formula is not as fair the way it is, and I don't agree with that, but at least here's a way to get back that any increase that would only go per student, so it would not perpetuate what they think is unfair. It would fund it, I would think, what they're arguing about as being a fair way to do it. I would urge their support.
Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I certainly don't disagree that there are schools who could use more money. However, putting more money into a broken system is not a good use of the money. It's certainly a matter of perception as to whether the current system is fair or not, but I think if you ask the people in Ketchikan, Sitka, and many small cities throughout Alaska whether the current funding formula is fair, they would certainly disagree that it is fair and think they've been disenfranchised for years. So while I think that certainly some schools do need more money, putting it in the current formula is not, in my opinion, the way to achieve that.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question?
Well,
Mr. Minority Leader?
Madam Speaker, obviously the previous speaker did not hear a word I said. This amendment does not put the money into the formula. It distributes it per the ADM. In other words, it distributes it by the number of students in the district, not by the formula. That's exactly why his district would receive $2.2 million more under this amendment than if we distribute it by the formula.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 20? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so amendment number 20 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 21 by Representative Elton to page 46, line 20.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 21.
There is objection. Representative Elton.
I guess the first thing I'd like to say, Madam Speaker, is that this amendment requires about 0.1% the amount of money that the previous amendment did, and that ought to give everybody a little bit of relief here. Also, Madam Speaker, the money we're talking about in this amendment is program receipts. Madam Speaker, this money adds back in $75,000 for a very important purpose. It provides for an investigator position for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board in Southeast Alaska. And, Madam Speaker, this is very important to Southeast Alaska. Southeast Alaska has 17% of the statewide liquor licenses, has 11% of the population, and there has been minimal presence of investigation in Southeast Alaska. Madam Speaker, we all know that increased enforcement coupled with other measures does make our community safer. Madam Speaker, I'd like to point out that this amendment doesn't take general fund dollars. I mean, the people that get the service pay for the service. And Southeast Alaska has the highest per capita consumption of alcohol in the state. We need the money. We need the presence of an investigator in Southeast Alaska. This provides the program receipts to fund the position. And I'd encourage people to vote yes.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The subcommittee for the agency went over this particular request. It is not a reduction from the current budget, nor does it delete any employees that they have now. We looked at it and saw that the Southeast has had a substantial decrease in population, and that perhaps also the Board of Alcohol can reassign its circular members to come down to Southeast a little more if that is needed, rather than have a full-time body. Thank you.
Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I also served on that subcommittee. It was a little daunting to stare across the table at 38 years of combined legislative experience with a member from District 14 and District 2. And we discussed this particular issue, and we came to the conclusion that an extra ABC investigator would generate some revenue. We weren't certain how much it would be, but there would be program receipts. What was also fairly clear from the testimony we heard was that there's increased community safety and there's decreased community costs because of the problems associated with alcohol. And it's very difficult to pin an exact number on what those savings are. But I think with this particular type of investment, when there's no other investigator
that I recall being down here in Southeast. We're talking in terms of an investment in safe communities and an investment that doesn't even cost as much as it appears to because it's going to generate some kind of receipts. Thank you.
Senator Bryan?
Well, Madam Speaker, I just wanted to reflect that the Alcohol Control Board, and since they've decided to arm their agents, perhaps with alcohol and firearms, we may raise some revenue by putting tobacco under them. Thank you.
You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 21? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 25 nays.
And so Amendment Number 21 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read 22?
Amendment Number 22 by Representative Jewell, DuPage 23, line 12.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 22.
There is objection. Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. What this amendment would do is to include $70,000 in general program fund receipts for the Alaska Career Information System. Currently in the budget, there's $121.3 in GF for this program. What this amendment does is to give DOE authorization to collect $70,000 in program receipts from subscribers. And without this authorization, Access will not be able to produce Alaska-specific information, and its effectiveness could suffer greatly as a result of this. Madam Speaker, a few years ago, I worked in another occupation where I had the opportunity to provide financial assistance for individuals trying to get off to higher education, where I used the system. And when I was in my home office with my computer, talking to people out in the villages, in the surrounding villages, getting information about what it is they wanted to do in terms of pursuing higher education, be it vocational or college, I was able to tap into the system, get information on job clusters, find information on what the trends were in those specific careers, find out what the pay scales were, find out where they could get training for them all across the country. In addition to that, I could also access information about financial aid, other financial aid that might be available to them. This is a wonderful tool. Then I'd be able to print that up and mail that back to those individuals so that they could have something in hand to follow up on. And I've had several people, as a result of that, go out, receive the further education that they need, come back, and get into the workplace. Madam Speaker, $70,000, this is a good investment. And I would urge the members to support this one. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Grusendorf?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, it's kind of interesting we have this program called Access, and it's asking for $70,000. And it's also interesting to find out that annually over 60,000 people use the system. And that brings us to the question here, why do we invest so much money into our public schools and into the universities? And it should be very obvious what we want the end product to be, and that's a person coming out of educational systems that are going to have careers, and these careers are going to be helpful to the rest of us in providing services and advice and other things that we would expect from these careers, even medical assistance. Who knows what these people may want to do? But this program is geared that in most of our public schools and in our libraries, this program is available, so that these people then can access everything from what the jobs are available at the state level or the national level, whatever college program or curriculum may be open to them to enter into. They even have apprenticeship programs by which they can go into. Maybe it's electrician, maybe it's plumbing. But this is kind of career-oriented. So we're spending $70,000, and we have 60,000 people using it a year, trying to develop the skills and get the training to seek a career, or even through their seeking a career. I think this is a good investment. We have this availability, and the Department of Labor compiles this. We have access to all this information. The sponsor of this amendment has worked in that system, and it's almost an invaluable tool to a young person if they're seeking perhaps the particular trade school, the particular college, or maybe even the part of the country by which there might be certain career opportunities that they may pursue. I think it's a mistake not to invest the money into the end result that we're trying to seek through our educational systems, and that's a career for these people. Thank you.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this amendment illustrates one of the things that I think is wrong with our budget process. Mr. Speaker, consider this for a moment. Here's a situation where we have 60,000 people who want to use a system, and where the system is paid for with program receipts. That means the people who provide it pay for it. This isn't oil money that pays for this. This is the people who use the system that want to pay for it. And, Madam Speaker, because in our budget process we treat general funds as equivalent to general fund program receipts, we find the necessity to lop off programs like this in order to balance the budget, quote unquote. Madam Speaker, this makes no sense. It makes none. 60,000 people want to use it. They're willing to pay for it. And because we treat program receipts as general funds, we can't do it? Madam Speaker, we've got to figure out a different way to do this process. I understand the need for scrutiny of the budget. I understand the need for appropriating these kinds of monies. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do that. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't look over every single one of these dollars carefully. But what I am suggesting is when we look over dollars like these, where people are willing to provide them out of their own pocket, Madam Speaker, not out of the oil revenues that comes to the general fund of the state, but out of their own pockets, and we can't provide the service as a collective group of people here because the budget wouldn't balance if we did this, there's something wrong with the premise, Madam Speaker. We need to go back and re-examine our assumptions about how we're doing the budget process because this makes no sense. Thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Madam Speaker, what Representative from District 29 said before, I think, has some merit and it's discussable. But in this, the reason this increment was not accepted was that there was a problem in that the Department of Labor and the Department of Education need to participate in this at some level, and those are general fund dollar levels that they were not willing to do. That there was no needed, there was no increment in their general fund dollars that were needed to carry out this program. With only a $70,000 general fund program increment, there was still like an $80,000 gap, and they said they simply weren't going to do the program. They're funding out the program, or they're phasing out the program. There was not much of a level of support with the department to do this. And as a result, that is why. And it didn't have as much to do with some of the inequities that, as he pointed out, are a little tough to deal with sometimes. It was just that there was still a gap in the funding even after you would have raised these receipts. So really, the increment wasn't very well thought out in the first place because the other two departments, or the two departments that needed to participate with it, were not participating, and as a result, couldn't do the program even with this increase.
Representative Davies.
Madam Speaker, with all due respect to the prior speaker, the testimony we had from the Department of Education was not that they wanted to phase out the program, but that they wanted to convert it over to a system that was available on the Internet and thereby make it available to more people at less cost.
You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 22? Hold, please. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 22 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read number 23?
Amendment number 23 is not being offered.
Number 24.
Amendment number 24 by Representative Berkowitz to page 38, lines 15 and 24.
Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I actually thought I was going to get a chance to sneak out of here, but I'm here to offer this amendment.
Would you move it?
Oh. I thought maybe I could slip it by just offering it, and I move the amendment.
There's objection, Representative Berkowitz.
It seems to always evoke the same chorus. I'm sorry to hear that. Madam Speaker, when you throw out a net to catch the bad guys, the cops need help pulling them in. And what this amendment does is give the fish cops out in Bristol Bay the prosecutorial assistance they need to bring in the small fry. Because they go after the big fish, they get all the criminals, the sex offenders, the murderers, the land-based offenders for the most part. But we give up policing and prosecuting the offenders who make life in Bristol Bay so difficult for law-abiding fishermen. And it seems to me, as someone who's both prosecuted and fished in Bristol Bay, that there's a wonderful opportunity for the state to reel in some extra revenue. And we can do that by ensuring that the lawbreakers are brought to task. The fines that are generated from commercial fish violations are substantial, Madam Speaker. Substantial enough that they would pay for this part-time attorney in no time at all. And I know there's been some discussion about adding extra fish cops out in Bristol Bay. It's a move I heartily endorse. But unless there's a prosecutor to go along with them, you're going to wind up with a bottleneck. And the bottleneck's going to result because there won't be enough prosecutors to handle the cases. When we implement a comprehensive approach to combating the fishing crimes, not I'm talking about combat fisheries, then we might be able to generate some extra revenues and ensure that all the fishermen who play by the rules receive the full benefits of their law-abiding qualities. So I'd urge the body to support this amendment. It will reduce the budget deficit, and it's fiscally prudent.
Representative Martin.
Hard to resist that temptation. But nevertheless, Madam Speaker, the subcommittee and the full committee of finance have increased the budget for criminal division by $214,000. This particular increase requested would be taking $50,000 from the Fish and Game Fund. If they want to, they can do that on their own, but they also do some of their own investigation. So we think we've been very generous with the criminal division, and as far as Bristol Bay having their own investigator, that can be done under other agreements. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 24? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Clerk, please open the roll. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so, amendment number 24 fails to pass. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 25 by Representative Grusendorf to page 25, line 18.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move amendment number 25.
There is objection.
Hearing objections, Madam Speaker, this is a federal student aid program. It is the only needs-based federal program that the state participates in. My understanding is that the post-secondary education group finds it a rather of a nuisance to deal with. But at the same time, there is a need. There's over 1,200 some eligible students that are applying for 160 spots or grants. Now, this money that's available to them is ranging anywhere from $100 up to $1,500. It's not much money, but at the same time, what it does is it encourages that student who has to have very severe financial needs to have this as a stipend while he or she probably has a part-time job by which then they can go to it's a four-year program. It's an undergraduate program. Now, some of you say, well, why would some people want to be in a program like that? Well, the main reason, Madam Speaker, is that the families, the average household family income for these people is under $16,000. That's not much money by many people's standards. And to think about making that little household income and putting a youngster through college is almost an overwhelming thought for that family. But at the same time, if there's something that can encourage that young person to go to school and seek other employment or economic resources, they would be willing to consider that, but wouldn't want to take on any commitment in relation with paying back a loan. I would say, Madam Speaker, that young people who go to college and actually have to work to pay for part of their education really appreciate what that education is all about. And so the particulars of this indicate that we're talking about very low-income families. And this amount of money makes a difference to that student. There is the demand. It's interesting that 73% of the people that receive this grant go to their four-year college program in the state of Alaska. They have to, of course, maintain a passing or have an average academic record. They have to show that they are indeed working towards a degree. And I think for the amount of general match that we're here to keep ourselves eligible for this federal program is worth the investment. We could probably direct them to, as I say, the other loan programs, but the family just doesn't have that type of resources or even think in terms of taking a loan or assuming a loan. And thus, this is very helpful, and the national government has participated in it, and I don't think we should end our participation in it.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you. This program was part of a number of programs that people who are economically disadvantaged can take part of. By deleting this from the department, they are still left with somewhere in the neighborhood of $11,500 a year that they can access for their college education. Not all of those are grants, but there are still Pell grants and student loans that add up to $11,500. So it may very well be a worthy program, but we're not leaving them out there in the cold without any place to turn for college education dollars.
Senator Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I would probably agree with the prior speaker. If we weren't talking about folks whose families' average family incomes were less than $16,000 a year, one of the greatest indicators of ability to succeed in the workforce is level of education. And of course, the higher level of education, the better off you're going to do. You're talking about potentially allowing a child that comes from a family that's making less than $16,000 to increase that individual's potential earnings up to $30,000, $40,000, if not more, depending on how far that person goes in higher education. When you take a look at those types of returns, you take a look at the types of programs that are available, there's a lot of financially difficult decisions that have to be made. And these are the folks that are literally on the margin when it comes to being able to financially attend or be able to pass up the finances to attend a higher educational institute. Madam Speaker, I think that what we're talking about by adding 163,000
bucks back into POSEC is we're talking about having an investment in the lower end of our the socioeconomic group here of Alaskans that will definitely give them the tools they need to become much more involved in the community, much more involved in helping their family and helping themselves. It's pure and simple economic development, this amendment number 25.
Further debate? Representative Kemplin?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. The I've always thought that the purpose of government was to provide opportunity for regular people. And that's what this money does. It provides opportunity. It provides opportunity for them to make their life better. It's not a handout. They have to go to school. They have to learn. It's the development of a skill. This is really an investment in our people. Investment in our people who are at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. An investment in our poor. People who have ambition to make something of themselves. This is where we provide them the opportunity to do that. This budget cut is an incremental, is another example, I think, of the incremental dismantlement of opportunity for regular Alaskans that is going on here in the state legislature. Next year we'll probably see more incremental efforts to dismantle opportunity. Madam Speaker, that's wrong. The role of government, particularly the role of state government, is to enhance opportunity for people. That's what this amendment does. It puts money back into the budget to make sure that the poor people do have that opportunity, that if they have the ambition to make something of themselves, that we give them the chance to do so.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what this would mean if my wife didn't work, if my income was $24,000 a year, and I had a son or a daughter that wanted to go to school, wanted to go to college. And I can tell you that a $1,500 grant would make an awful lot of difference. And Madam Speaker, we're talking here about families who make 60% of what our wages are. And I think that we not only ought to support this amendment, we ought to think about what happens. We all know what happens with each additional year of education. We all know what that does to lifetime earning capacity. And Madam Speaker, this is another one of those cases in which we're not spending now, but we're going to be paying an awful lot more later. And I would encourage people to vote yes.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 25? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 25 fails to pass the House. At this time, we're going to take a two-hour break. We will reconvene at 7 p.m. exactly. And I'd like Mr. Majority Leader, Mr. Rules Chairman, the two finance chairs, please to come forward. The House is Representative Barnes.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, World Trade, International Trade, we'll be holding a briefing by our foreign trade reps in the Butrovich Room. It's a video teleconference starting at 5 o'clock.
Representative Foster?
Do we have to stay on the second floor?
No, you don't have to stay on the second floor. We are recessed until 7 o'clock. Would the members please indicate their presence by voting to establish a quorum? Madam Clerk, would you please tally the board?
23 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Would the clerk please read the next item, the next amendment?
Amendment number 26 by Representative Elton to page 23, line 12.
Representative Elton?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 26.
There is objection. Representative Elton?
I got excited for a brief moment. Madam Speaker, amendment number 26 provides $300,000 for technical assistance and training to low-performing school districts. And Madam Speaker, we're not talking about a theoretical problem here. This is a problem that is real, and it's real in several areas of our state. Madam Speaker, there are 12 districts in our state in which 50% of the students read in the bottom quartile. This money can be directed to those districts that aren't making adequate progress on a yearly basis. And Madam Speaker, I guess what I feel very strongly about is over the last couple of years, we have added several requirements to districts. I mean, we now require more tests. We even require a test to graduate. We're assessing more. We're passing district report cards. Madam Speaker, if we pass this amendment, we'll actually be providing some help and relief to those districts that need it the most. And I would urge a yes vote on the amendment, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Grusendorf?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, one of our responsibilities, constitutional responsibilities, is education for a young person, and they don't have any other option until they reach the age of 16. And with that obligation, we should try to give them an opportunity to get an education. Department of Education has identified 12 school districts that need assistance. And as the sponsor of the amendment has indicated, we have been pushing a lot of programs in what we call quality schools. And we demand that young people are able to be proficient in reading at the fourth grade level when they're in fourth grade. We expect them later to be proficient in reading and writing skills, and also mathematics. And I think it would be unfair for us as a legislative body not to be willing to assist those school districts that are having difficulties with their students, perhaps because of cultural or maybe bilingual problems, I shouldn't say problems, but bilingual situations that exist in which they are working within the school system. So I think that it's a very excellent amendment and should be considered.
Further debate? Representative Kemplin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As Madam Speaker, we have established these exit requirement for exit exam in the state of Alaska. We are also interested in emphasizing the notion of standards, performance standards, for our Alaska kids. Madam Speaker, some of our Alaska kids come from backgrounds that are difficult backgrounds. Some of these backgrounds are not as good as others. Some parts of our state, the school districts and the schools, they have families that are well off, and they're able to give their kid all of the benefits that modern society has to offer. Other parts of our state, the kids don't have those benefits. They don't have the ability to acquire the basic skills needed in order to perform in the school. They need assistance. They need additional help. They need remedial assistance, Madam Speaker. This $300,000 would provide that. The notion behind this $300,000 is so that we leave no child behind, Madam Speaker, as we strive to raise the bar of performance for all Alaskans. If we do not spend this $300,000, for distribution to those 12 schools. What we're saying is that those 12 schools, it's okay for you not to perform. We are tacitly agreeing and accepting the notion that those schools are not going to be able to perform as well as others. When those kids later on, Madam Speaker, fail their exams, when they're not able to meet our performance standards, we should not then say, shame on you. We should say, if we do not pass this amendment, shame on us.
Further debate? Ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 26? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 26 fails to pass the House. Mr.
At ease.
House stand at ease.
Speaker, may we go down the calendar to committee announcements?
Without objection.
I'd just like to announce that tomorrow morning's finance meeting is being canceled.
Thank you. Back up to the amendments. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 27 by Representative Cabina, page 22, line 32.
Representative Cabina.
Madam Speaker, I move Amendment Number 27.
There is objection. Representative Cabina.
Madam Speaker, Amendment Number 27, since we have not dealt with the issue of school funding or the increases that I believe it needed, I have introduced this amendment, which would just put $1 million into the Department of Education to allow it to be spent for technology, basically computers for schools. I really wanted to put it in for substantially a higher amount, but I thought if I kept it low and we left the line item in there of computers, maybe next year we'd be able to have more to it. Obviously, in order to get ahead in the 21st century, it's an item that all of our schools are trying to address.
Further debate? Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The tool of tomorrow isn't the hammer or the saw, it's the computer. And every child to be successful in the future needs to be proficient. And you can't be proficient if you don't have one on your table. I think you can take a look at the programs in Galena, to the extended program there, to show the importance that some people put in the development and the use of technology in our school system. Madam Speaker, it shouldn't be just $1 million, it should be 100 times that. It's a fabulous tool for children to learn.
Further debate? Representative Kemplin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Computers, as mentioned by the prior two speakers, are an essential tool of today's society. We saw with the presentation by the correspondents in the charter school from Galena here in your chambers, Madam Speaker, just what can be done with these computers by kids. I have a special predisposition to computers. I helped to develop a community computer lab in my home neighborhood of Fairview. And the kids from the Fairview Elementary School, since they did not have room for a computer lab, they would come over, the teachers would bring them over to that computer lab so that they would have access to computers. It was so important to them. The kids loved it. The kids spent hours on those computers, doing their homework, playing games, but learning a lot of very useful and productive skills, Madam Speaker. One particular important skill that they've learned is how to operate in this communications world of ours. The internet is something that is developing so rapidly that many of us still are trying to grasp its impact. Computers represent our vehicle for moving on to that information highway that is rapidly under construction. Being able to work with that information is absolutely critical to being able to be economically productive in the future. It's an incredibly important skill which all of our children need to learn. This past, a few months ago, I was fortunate enough to sponsor a three-dimensional modeling contest for the kids in my neighborhood, and saw what they were able to do with these computers. And some of these kids produced products, knowledge products, Madam Speaker, that were very sophisticated. And it reminded me of the work that is done in Hollywood by these sophisticated software companies. And I thought to myself when I saw that, gosh, that comes out of the minds of Alaska kids. And there's no reason at all, Madam Speaker, why that type of endeavor shouldn't be emphasized in our state. Giving kids the ability to create those knowledge products would allow us to diversify our economy. In the newspaper the other day, I saw where a student in computer skills, computer programming skills, was going to work for ARCO. These days, you don't necessarily need, not everybody needs a complete four-year degree in order to be able to be productive in the economy. What is important for them to have is the ability to use computers, be able to manipulate the software and create those knowledge products that are so much in demand. This amendment of $1 million that increases the amount of money for schools, for computers in schools, would go a long way, Madam Speaker, to making sure that all Alaskan kids have the essential tools here in Alaska so that they're able to be as productive as we want them to be. I would encourage the members of this body to vote yes. Thank you very much.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House pass Amendment Number 27? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 27 fails to pass. Will the clerk please read 28?
Amendment Number 28 by Representative Kimplin to page 23, line 12.
Representative Kimplin.
Madam Speaker, I move Amendment Number 28.
There is objection. Representative Kimplin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment adds $85,000 for preschool certification. Madam Speaker, I've been on the floor here, and I've mentioned before about a presentation that was by Dr. Newman to a joint session of the Senate and House HES committees. And Dr. Newman was explaining the latest research in brain development. Now, out of that presentation, one of the conclusions was that it's extremely important in this day of both parents working to have quality child care and to have kids ready to go to school. Because it is at those early years of development that the human brain is able to learn so much more. The older we get, the more the brain kind of gets set in its ways, Madam Speaker. This $85,000 would provide the ability to ensure that preschools here in Alaska have the appropriate educational programs for our kids. Madam Speaker, there are more than 240 preschools in Alaska. And unlike public school teachers, there are no state requirements for professional preparation of preschool workers. No state requirements for professional preparation of preschool workers. Few of those preschool workers are especially trained in childhood development, Madam Speaker. It's just that we're just taking a hit-or-miss type of attitude towards the development of our kids, these key resources of the future. This amendment helps ensure quality control in those 240 preschools, Madam Speaker. It helps ensure that appropriate educational content is being presented and the appropriate educational techniques that maximizes the learning of those kids are occurring in those preschools. I think it's a very wise investment of our public dollars, and I encourage the members of this body to vote yes.
There's a debate. Representative Berkowitz.
Thanks very much, Madam Speaker. There's an interesting development that we've done with the budget this year, which is the performance-based budgeting. I was noticing on page 23 of the budget, lines 31 through 33, we talk about professional development, the percentage of teachers trained to incorporate training into classroom instruction. Well, Madam Speaker, if we don't provide the resources to train those teachers, whose performance is lacking? I encourage members to support this amendment.
Further debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 28? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
And so amendment number 28 fails to pass. The clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 29 by Representative Kukesh, beginning page 19, line 24.
Representative Kukesh.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 29 is not being offered. Thank you.
Amendment 29 has been withdrawn. Would the clerk please read the next?
Amendment number 30 by Representative Bryce to page 32, line 11.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move amendment number 30.
There is objection. Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very simply, what we're looking to do in amendment number 30 is to add the phrase, unless it was a case of rape, incest, sexual abuse, or threatens the health of the woman. I'm sure everybody can recognize what we're talking about here, Madam Speaker. When we make statements in our budget that says it is further the policy of the House Finance Committee that the governor will not perform any more abortions. Well, Madam Speaker, there's a couple of cases here I'd like to point out in which it might be acceptable to set things aside and take a look at, well, maybe these types of procedures might be necessary. You know, when it is, say, the father of a teenager that has sexually abused his child and gets her pregnant, or for that matter, when it is the victim of a violent rape, that's all we're asking for here, Madam Speaker. Nothing more, nothing less. I would suggest that to keep this clause out of this intent language does a great injustice to the people of this state. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good evening. Madam Speaker, I just want to rise and support the amendment here and just put on the record that intent statement, while it may be the policy of the Finance Committee, isn't the policy of this member of the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 30? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Clerk, please void the roll. I'll stand at ease. It's okay. For those that just watch when you vote, you know, you got to press it again if it doesn't. Okay. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
15 yeas, 23 nays.
And so amendment number 30 fails to pass. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 31 by Representative Grusendorf to page 29, lines 22 and 23.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. Move amendment number 31.
There is objection.
Okay, hearing objections, you see the word habitat there, and I know some of you may react to that term, either positively or negatively. But we have demonstrated in these chambers today, very early on in the session, that we have great concern over fish and game. And I guess the question is, if the fish and game in the state of Alaska could form a negotiating unit, they could decide whether it should be the state of Alaska or the national government that would have management over them. But I guess what I'm trying to get at with fish and game, we are very concerned about it. It's very important to the state of Alaska. And when you have that concern, you also must consider habitat. On the other hand, all of us are also interested in economic development. We have had countless pieces of legislation dealing with oil and gas leasing. What this amendment would do would put $75,000 into the habitat to help the pre- and the post-monitoring of leases. Now, some of you say, well, that's kind of hinders industry. No, it does not. By having the habitat people available to industry and those that have these leases, it protects them from any legal suits. It helps them in a court. It helps them prevent anything that would stop an injunction, for example, stop the progress that we're trying to do. In Cook Inlet, we had a bill on that. We know there's potential there. In the North Slope, there are about seven fields or seven areas that are about the size of the alpine fine that we have up there that likewise will need some permitting and monitoring. So the amendment basically assists not only industry and those that wish to develop the state and create jobs, but it also helps protect our wildlife and fish resources. I think it's a good investment, even though some of you may be negative to the heading of it, habitat.
Further debate? Are you Representative Kemplin?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yeah, this notion here of the $75,000 for oil and gas leasing, you know, really, what we're doing is we're just asking for money to so that the state can shoulder its fair share in this, what I consider, a partnership for doing development right here in the state of Alaska. We, as the state, has responsibilities, Madam Speaker.